Hello and welcome to the show. Today I'm discussing the main event for One on Prime Video 1, which is coming up this weekend. We have Demetrius Johnson rematching Adriano Moraes for the flyweight title. Now, of course, the first time around it didn't work out for DJ. It was a great fight, but it was a really tricky one for him to try and negotiate. The movement of Moraes is very hard to read. He manages distance very well, and it makes it difficult for DJ because as soon as he started to close him down with punches, he was immediately into a clinch range, and I got the feeling in the first round that he didn't really want to grapple with him. So the question the second time around is, does he still want to grapple with him, because that was what led to the demise the first time around? So many questions go into this one. I have had a real good time researching this one. I'm very excited for it. Okay, before we get into the analysis, let me go tailor the tape. Adriano Moraes, the defending champion, he stands 5'8" compared to 5'3" for DJ. So he's got a 5-inch height advantage. He's also got a 3-inch reach advantage at 69 inches. And that did prove very useful in the last fight, the height and the reach. DJ always looked to me like he was just out of range. And then when he closed down, it felt like he was a bit too close. That's maybe just me speculating, but I'll show you why I think that in a second when we get into the video. 20 wins and 3 losses for Moraes, 30 wins, 4 losses and 1 draw for DJ. 4 knockouts on Moraes' record compared to 5 on Demetrius Johnson's record. A little bit more experience, a little bit more finishing on his record as well. 12 submissions compared to 10 for DJ as well. So he's, you know, there's a variety of skills on both sides of this. They've both got very, very quick hands. They've both got a variety of different skills that they can throw at one another. When it comes to the submission game, though, they both have a lot of different skills. It could go any number of ways. And this is one of the reasons why I feel like DJ wanted to try and maintain a striking range, to start with in their last fight. Because although DJ has got lots of submissions on his record, the skill of transition from one to the next from Adriano Moraes, I think it made DJ think to himself, I'm gonna keep this one on the feet for a little bit. I'll keep the grappling in the back pocket. And when it didn't start to work out in the first fight, I think in the second round he decided he wanted to close that range down. I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, loads of different submissions on their records. For DJ, you've got 3 rear naked chokes, 5 arm bars, 2 guillotines, a kimura, and a key lock. On the other side, for Moraes, you've got 10 submissions, 3 guillotines, 4 rear naked chokes, 2 arm triangles, and a bravo. Again, you know, if they lock up, if they start to grapple in this fight, I expect it to be one submission attack after the next, and I expect them both to be thrown at one another. The point of difference is that DJ's got the wrestling, and I feel like he's going to feel confident that he can at least manage the distance with that. Oh, so much to talk about with this fight. The other thing I want to mention as well is Adriano Moraes. His record is 20-3, as I said. The 3 losses are all split decision losses. 2 of the split decision losses, he was able to go back and get revenge by unanimous decision. So we could quite easily be looking at the 2 best flyweights in the world here. They're both very, very talented. For DJ, he'd not been stopped until the last time he fought Moraes. So he's coming off his first stoppage loss in mixed martial arts, which must have been a bit of a shock to the system for him. He's very, you know, he's very kind of down to earth and mature, and he seemed to handle it very well. But he knows Moraes is a very, very dangerous character. You know, the other times DJ's lost has all been by decision. You know, Dominic Cruz, Brad Pickett, Henry Cejudo. He's not an easy person to beat because he's so well-rounded, because his decision-making is so good. But then when it comes to Adriano Moraes, I feel like there are layers to the decisions that he makes, which makes me even more intrigued as to the approach for the next one. I'll show you what I'm talking about, because like I said, there's a lot going on in these fights because they're so highly skilled. And honestly, this card, I mean, top to bottom, this card is great. I mean, co-main event, Nong O against Liam Harrison. I'm doing a show on that one. Rod Tang against Savas Michael. Again, you know, great fights. Superlex on the card against Gonsalves. We've got Haggerty on the card. Loads and loads of great fights on this card. So make sure you check it out. Let's get into the main event. Okay, so first round. Let's just watch the movement of Moraes here. Look how he's on his toes. He just seems to be slightly out of range for DJ. What you'll notice is that Moraes is quite happy to trade kicks with DJ. It allows him to maintain the range, but it also reminds DJ that he's at a deficit when it comes to height and reach. It stings him. You can see it almost took his legs away. But then when DJ tries to return with kicks, it almost always gets punished for it. And this movement was very frustrating for DJ. He was struggling to, at any point, get Moraes in a position where he could actually hit him with something. But so this is where it gets interesting for me. Now, we know that DJ is a good grappler. We know that Moraes is a good grappler. Their perspectives of one another, though, we don't know. Now, I would say that Moraes is quite willing and happy to grapple with anybody. But DJ, I think, he edges his bets on the range that he feels he's most likely to get in the win. We've seen this with other great fighters as well. They've got the skill sets to go across the board, so they go, okay, well, you're a good grappler, so I'm going to strike. You're a good striker, so I'm going to grapple. If you've got wrestling, you can make that decision. But if you've got someone that doesn't really mind being wrestled and can wrestle back, but ultimately is a good striker with great submissions, it makes it difficult to choose that option. And because he's got 10 submissions compared to 4 knockouts, it seems to me like DJ was like, okay, let's edge our bets in the striking range. So then when they closed down and he clinched up with Moraes, I don't know, it just seems odd because as Moraes moves forward, you see DJ trying to maintain this tie clinch. So there's a forearm in between them. And at the same time, he's trying to get his hips away so he's not being grappled. It's how it feels to me. See, Moraes is just moving forward, but because he's lowered his level and he's got this hook here, it's like he's trying to posture, like he's trying to chase the hips of DJ, which seems to make DJ want to back up. He doesn't want to engage in this wrestle here. So he's always backing up. He's maintaining this distance between the two hips here at the same time as keeping that frame. That's what's helping him use that frame to keep his hips away. And he gets backed up against the fence and he stays on the fence for a bit, but he maintains this tie clinch. He maintains this space. Even when Moraes was really trying to crush him into the fence, he's always able to keep at least one forearm in the way. And then Moraes decides to disengage. Because another thing about Moraes, because he's a good striker and a good grappler, because he's got good footwork, which is a little bit Dominic Cruz-esque, if you ask me, which might be an additional layer of problems for DJ to solve. He does kind of drift in and out of range and switch his stances a lot and then bounce into range to make his opponent move away. There's a lot of really interesting movement from Moraes. So he's happy to be at range or to be doing jiu-jitsu. So if he finds himself in a bit of a stalemate circumstance, he's quite happy just to bail out and keep the fight moving. There's something I like about Moraes is that he has got a very kind of... His fights move constantly. He's never really holding still. I suppose that leads me onto the point quickly about DJ. I think DJ criticised him a bit for backing up and that shows to me that DJ was a bit frustrated with the fact that Moraes was just out of reach for him all the time. But this is where... Every time I watch Adriano Moraes fight, I always feel like he's giving his opponent a couple of different options. He's either going to move away from them and force them to move into his range onto his counter strikes, which then allows him to continue his movement, or he's going to go leaping at them with a flying knee or something and tempt them to level change, in which case then he's attacking their neck. They seem to be that's the two-pronged attack that works really well for him. Sometimes he's more aggressive with his striking than others, but that what I see in this fight against DJ is he's forcing DJ to cover more distance going forward than he wants to, but at the same time having to pump the brakes because he doesn't want to get too close and get tangled up. Watch what I mean here. So they trade a couple of kicks. Moraes is on the outside moving and he'll throw another kick. And DJ then will return the kick, which will then get caught and tackled. And again, DJ is defensive here. He's not trying to grapple here. That's one of the reasons why he's posting this hand. He's got a really loose... It's not even a wizard because he doesn't have it hooked. He's got his hand on the elbow of Moraes. The other hand is being posted on the canvas and he's trying to keep himself from falling onto his shoulder. He doesn't want Moraes to run him to his back. So that's what's happening in this situation here with the wrist. And you'll see as this progresses, DJ is going to kind of like break dance his way to the wall on one hand, which is really impressive. At the same time, you can now see Moraes making even more effort to drive down with that palm on the back of the head. He is hooking that as well as trying to lift the leg of DJ to try and force him to just give up and accept the takedown and roll onto his shoulder or at least, belly down, which would probably be even worse in this situation. But because they get to the fence and DJ's now, you can see him, look how he glances over at the fence. He is not smiling for the photographer, that's for sure. He is looking to see where that post is that he can lean onto, which will give him a moment to be able to start scrambling back to his feet. But the double threat of Moraes with his grappling is he can initiate a takedown, but you'll also notice that he's got this leg hooked here. So what you're going to see him do is he's going to now sit to his back and start attacking that ankle, because he realizes he's not going to get on top of DJ in this scenario, but he doesn't have to. All he has to do is be sticky. He has to stay in contact with him and drag him into a trap. So that's what he tries to do here. Again, DJ being a great grappler, he reads this and he feels the danger. There's where Moraes is going to drop to his back. And what he's going to try and do is he's going to try and swing this leg up and over, so he's then locked around DJ's left leg. What Johnson's doing really well, though, is he's keeping a hold of the tricep. So that then closes this door. There's no way that that leg can then come over the other side and start to isolate that one limb to start attacking the knee. Like, DJ's reading this very well. So he does know that he can hang with Moraes to an extent, but it's a bit of a quickfire problem solving this, and it's not the ideal case scenario for DJ. He wants to be in charge. He doesn't want to be reactive and like putting out fires left and right. Ankle lock, Kimura, neck attack. I don't want to be dealing with them all. So he tries to slow this down. Let me clear the screen. He tries to slow this down. You can see Moraes trying to pull that leg over there, but look at this grip that DJ's got. That is what's keeping him safe, because it's stopping this leg winding its way into this space here, which is what you'll see Moraes is trying to do. That's why he's trying to push on DJ's head. He's pushing DJ's head that way so he can bring this leg over. All the jiu-jitsu guys out there, you can feel this position. You can put yourself in the position that Moraes is in and think to yourself, right, I know what I need to do to get to this leg. And you can see how well DJ's kind of counteracting what he's trying to do. DJ digs him in the face a little bit here, which is a lovely shot. Bang. Keeps a hold of that, and he's holding on to that for like for dear life. You can see how tight that grip is of that thumb. I mean, that is a please leave my knees alone kind of grip, because he knows how dangerous he is. Okay. So, of course, this is going to be a stalemate for only a very short period of time, because Moraes is going to always try and create something, some kind of movement. You can see him playing with the other side. He goes from the post on the neck to the other side, like he's going to try and pull DJ in. DJ then puts a post on this. He's like, I'm holding here. I want to control this, but I want to keep you away here. Like trying to pull an octopus off your arm, I would imagine it would feel like. But then what you're going to see is a nice explosive little movement. And the mistake that DJ makes, and might be going into something a bit too specific for you here, the mistake DJ makes here is, you can see here, it's not a good circle, you can see here is his foot is flat on the floor. You're going to see him move that in a minute, because he's going to try and fold the leg underneath and make it feel a little bit safer. And now he's lost that balance on the floor, and you're going to see Moraes rock him over and throw that leg. There it is. And he's going to try and come over and clear that leg as well. And he locks down onto it. Now you can see how isolated he is, because he's now using the far leg to kick the other leg away of DJ, which is then collapsing his base. This is a bad situation for DJ. Look at the bend in that knee. And he lands, and he knows he's dealing with this. But fortunately, he's got his arm underneath the leg, so he's going to be able to try and strip that control. So it's not worst case scenario, but it's getting worse. Moraes is able to creep his way into a more dominant position here. And as DJ, see how he clears that? You can see him using his right hand just here. He's going to push that foot across. There it goes. And he's going to get onto that foot. He's going to get as close to that foot as he can, because then that foot can now no longer creep over the top of his left leg and start isolating that. Look how he's posted here. So now that's safe. Now he's going to start trying to pull this over this direction, so he's clearing and he's getting away from this tight control that Moraes has got. As I said before, Moraes knows when to keep a hold of something and when to immediately disengage and move to the next thing. And DJ makes a tactical error here, which shapes the end of the first round for me. The tactical error is that he tries to athlete his way out of this instead of trying to jiu-jitsu his way out. He tries to scramble wrestling style instead of actually solving the problems that he had. Because the initial problem is that his leg's tangled up. The second problem is that as he scrambles, most likely Moraes is going to chase his back. So he's got to get his leg free, which is a difficult thing to do anyway, but he's also got to do it without turning away. And the easiest way to get out of a heel hook situation is to turn and sprint. You know, kick him up the butt, turn and sprint. That's the basic defense to a lot of leg attacks. He's not able to do that because Moraes is so sticky, is so dangerous at taking people's back. So it allows Moraes to chase him up and get into top position. You'll see what I'm saying here. So here's the exchange. DJ is going to pick his moment and he's going to start this scramble. Posted on his hand. You can see him peeling this off to create himself some space while he's driving down onto this hand. And then he's going to scurry in this direction as fast as possible. But of course, Moraes is not going to let him go. He goes. Moraes stays hooked onto the ankle here. So again, he's got a hook around the back of DJ. DJ's not able to get away here. He's back posted on one arm. That is not going to be good enough to get away from someone like Moraes. And he gets tripped and tangled, and Moraes ends up on top position. So that's the end of the first round. So it started off with DJ not being able to get very close to Moraes. Then it got to the stage where he was too close and he was dealing with submissions that he didn't want. But I think he feels confident that if he's in top position, that's probably the best place to assure his victory. Because with striking, he can't touch him. He's not going to be on bottom position playing jiu-jitsu with this guy because that would just be silly. So he comes out in the second round and it's like, okay, I'm going to close distance with strikes, but I'm now going to start to wrestle. I'm now going to start adding those level changes to remind him of that. And it works quite well. I mean, you know, it allows DJ to kind of push him around a little bit. You can see Moraes constantly moving away, trying to find some space. But then because DJ is still the one trying to close him down, it's giving Moraes options to kick him and poke him and chop into him. Again, you know, DJ gets kicked and he throws kicks. It seems to be a bit of a habit of his. It's like, okay, you kick me, I'm going to kick you back. It's more of an establishment of range. Moraes is kicking him and that's the longest weapon that he's got. So DJ is replying with the longest weapon. Look at that little footwork there from Moraes. Beautiful work. DJ is going to dip in. He's going to level change as Moraes throws the jab over him. But straight away, Moraes brings that arm back and creates a post. So he keeps keeping DJ away. He's quite happy to tangle up if it's on his terms. But he won't let you tangle up on your terms. He's really good at getting away from you. He's really good at cutting these angles and running off around the edges and scurrying away and making his opponent then chase after him and make even more of an effort to close distance. And then sometimes he'll jump at you with a flying knee and he'll give you that opportunity and then he'll wrap your neck up. It must feel so frustrating to try and get close to him because at no point does he hold still. And because he's got the height and reach advantage, most of the time he can hit you and you can't hit him. Footwork. Beautiful. Good low kick by DJ there. I think he should invest a bit more in that in the next fight, to be honest. But, you know, his impatience trying to chase him down is ultimately what led to his demise. And this was Moraes making the most of the predictability of DJ, of what he was going to do. Because, of course, he's struggling to land anything. So what are your options? If you're DJ, if you're Moraes and you're like, DJ can't touch me, so I know that he's going to have to try and wrestle me now. He's not winning this exchange, so he's going to have to try and change his game plan. So then DJ starts to wrestle. So then Moraes has got a much better idea of where his head's going to be because DJ level changes right down the center always, almost always. Sometimes he clinches and reaps, but if someone's on their bike and he can't get hands on them, he's very good at setting up his level change, but his head always goes in the same direction. And Moraes almost catches him because, again, these guys are so high level. DJ reads this really well. As DJ level changes here, he feints with the jab. Moraes recognizes that, so he's going to go flying knee. Now, you don't see it from this angle. From the next angle, you're going to see how close this is. But DJ actually manages to get his head out of the way of that before he eats the impact. I mean, that's his head just brushing off the shin. That could have been the end of the fight right there. The reason I'm showing you that is because that's the first center channel attack. Gets his foot caught. He's going to do a 360, which has got a spinning back fist on the end of it, just in case he can swipe him across the side of the head. Look at the post on the wrist. I mean, so much goes on. Okay. I'm going to play this through for you, just full speed. Then I'm going to play it through slow motion, and I'm going to talk you through it. Please bear with me. Full speed. Jumping knee, spinning back fist, uppercut. Knee, game over. Now let's watch that slow again so you can see those different transitions. It really is beautiful. Not for DJ. For martial arts in general, it's beautiful. We enjoy it. We love martial arts. Home of martial arts. Hashtag. Watch this. Flying knee, back fist, post on the wrist, uppercut. Amazing. Like, flow state. That is like two apex predators fighting against one another. Like, the speed at which he transitions from one to the next. Here we go. Jumping knee. Just glances off the side of his head. Gets his leg caught. Spins 360. Throws the back fist. Immediately goes from the back fist to catch the wrist. I mean, it's kung fu at its best, isn't it? And he backs up, tries to get another post. DJ comes crashing over with the right hand. Moraes recognizes the next thing is going to happen. There's a level change because he knows where he is compared to the edge of the circle. And DJ comes level change onto the uppercut. Poetic. And as DJ goes down, this is where Moraes really makes the most of the knees to the head on the ground rule. Causes that post that frame on the head of DJ, which we're going to see from a different angle in a minute, and lands a really, really nice knee. Okay. Look how close this is. Like, as it's coming up, DJ recognizes, watch at the point when his head starts to move back in the opposite direction. You see, right, he's hit the brakes. He's going forward. He's stopped. He's seen the knee, and now he's moving away. Just in time. Look at that. I mean, like, you can see the space closing down. Wow. What a reaction. But then what a reaction from Adriano Moraes. Lands on one leg. Bails out. Limp legs out. Drags his leg away so DJ can't keep hold of his heel. Goes for a spinning back fist, which just misses. But then look at that catch on that wrist. Wing Chun 101. Backs up, and here's the uppercut. Shovel right across the chin. Pow. Drops him to the floor. And then the post on the neck, which we'll see here. Look at that. This is what I'm talking about. He's quite happy to get close to you on his terms. But at the same time, if it makes more sense to keep space, we've got the overhook on one side, we've got the single necktie, the post on the other, and that keeps just enough space for him to bring this knee right to the chin of DJ. Bang. Oh, what a finish. What a finish. And what, I mean, fantastic fights. I know DJ didn't come out on top, but what a fighter, what an athlete, and what reaction times to save himself from that first one. It's always going to take layers of attacks to beat someone like DJ, and that's what we saw from Moraes. So they've both fought once since then. DJ did the exhibition match, the special rules match against Rod Tang, where he Muay Thai'd in the first round to the best of his ability and did all right. But Rod Tang surprised me even more with his grappling, even though he lost in the second round by rear naked choke. Moraes has had one fight defend his belt against Yuya Wakamatsu, who's a very good wrestler, and another fighter I'm definitely keeping my eye on, because he's just underneath these two guys. He's had good fights with both of them. He's shown his grappling credentials, and the way that Moraes approached this fight again was very, very interesting, because He gives you those two options, because he knows that Wakamatsu is a good wrestler. So he goes, okay, I'm either gonna shoot in and force you to defend so I can come up and hit you with a knee, or I'm gonna jump over the top of you or attack you with a wild flurry to get you to level change underneath so I can attack you from above. I'm either gonna go down and come up, or I'm gonna go over and come down. They're your two options. And this was a lot of fun, this fight was. So here we go. Same thing again. Moraes on his bike, on his toes, moving around, stinging from the outside, being elusive. Difficult to read, difficult to close down. You don't want to commit to anything because you see him kind of feinting things. Look at that. You've got two feints there. You've got the jumping knee feint. Hey, just a reminder of the DJ fight. I might do that. You see how Wakamatsu backs up straight away. And then he comes back into range and then you get another feint, which creates a bit more space. You can see how he moves back away out of range. So he gives Moraes a little bit of space. And then the next thing happens, Moraes sees him land on that front foot and he goes straight underneath. And this is a really nice takedown because what you'll notice is that Wakamatsu, as I said, is a good wrestler. He's got this underhook already. He's already got one forklift hook that he can start lifting Moraes up with. But Moraes is already around that lead leg with the other arm. We can't see it here, but he's hooked around that lead leg. So he's already got something that he's got a bite on. What now he's going to do, he's going to slide his left arm up and onto the shoulder. So it's going to go from being here to going over the shoulder. And he's going to use it to drive his opponent down. And the circle that he turns, it makes it a very efficient takedown. Here we go. The arm comes up and it goes over the shoulder and drives down. Because you can see how Wakamatsu's digging that underhook up. But you can also see the hook on the leg. And the circling, the turning, the pivoting, and takes him down. And something else that you'll notice about Moraes' game as well is that his grappling, his scrambles can be very, very chaotic. But when he hits the floor, all of a sudden it slows right down. It's like he becomes like a lava flow straight away, and he just kind of slowly just kind of irons them out. And that's what you see here. This is quite a chaotic sequence. Yeah, let's just play it through. Faint kick, level change, runs him down, turns the corner, stays hooked on, controls that leg, and then once he's able to settle him down, then look, slowly just kind of irons him out, hops over the leg. Can you see how slow his upper body's moving? His lower body moves fast, but if you're only watching half of the screen, if you're just watching his upper body, watch how slow his upper body moves. His legs are independent of his upper body. They do the work jumping around. Like, his shoulders barely move. Very cool. Clears that leg straight to half guard and then just slowly slides himself up until you can see that Wakamatsu, who's now not on the canvas, accepts his shoulders to the mat. Really lovely grappling skills. And this again, you know, this is a takedown that was initiated by Wakamatsu. He goes underneath, he gets a good body lock. You see Moraes come back with the arm and get the whizzer. Then he goes whizzer kick, a bit of a scramble, jumps onto the neck, threatens the neck, but because he knows he's not going to get it, switches his approach and pulls him straight down into a knee. So this is what I'm talking about. He's either going to try and pull you down to get you to snap up, and then he can level change. He can attack low and then go high, or he can attack high and go low. This is a good example of that. He's above his opponent, attacking the neck. Being over him is not working, so now he's going to snap him down onto the knee. You'll see him use it again in a moment. See, and he'll just jump at you with knees because he doesn't really care if you level change or not. Here we go again, level change. Another good underhook by Wakamatsu here. Drives him up, lifts him up so he can't stay on his legs. And you'll see Moraes accept it, changes direction, goes straight to the head and pulls him down onto a knee. Bang. Very fluid in his attack, which is a real bonus when you're fighting someone like DJ. So there we go, he leaps at him, and then the next thing, Wakamatsu's level changed. And this is a lovely guillotine as well, this is, because it's very difficult to get these in these transitions. As Wakamatsu level changes, you can see that Moraes has really pitched a hard right hand over the top. He has to readjust his position, and he brings his left hand out, and he just cups his chin. That's what allows him to keep a hold of this. He cups his chin, and he stays with him as he's going down. And then as he lands, then he brings his other hand over the arm and to the underneath of that chin. Now, the reason why this works so well is not necessarily because he's got really deep into the neck, but because he's put his hand in this position here, and now he's going to fold his head over it with the pressure from his bicep and tricep. This is what I'm talking about. So that right now, that hand is cupping underneath his chin, but at the same time, he's driving down here with the top of his arm to fold that head underneath. It's like he's put a wedge in his neck, and he's now folding his neck over it. Of course, it's gonna fold it'll fold the hose pipe so the water won't come out. You understand the mechanics of it. And he stays on this. I mean, he really believes he's got it, to the point where Wakamatsu even tries to pass his guard to try and alleviate some pressure, and then he's able to adjust and get that triangle. See, here we go now. You can see Wakamatsu is actually posting down with this elbow. He's trying to push down to clear that leg and to get past it. And Marais is able to work his way around. Lovely work with that left leg. Throws it over his shoulder. I mean, Wakamatsu does everything he can to get out of this, but you're just not going to do it. Not in this scenario. Not, you know, and this is where long arms and legs come into play as well. You know, being able to wrap around and elevate and keep a grip on things where normally, you know, you might not be able to get your hands together. He's a very, very dynamic fighter in a lot of ways. I'm going to show you one other fight, because of course DJ's not fought MMA since the last time he fought Marais. What I do like, though, is a common opponent, because sometimes it shows us the difference in the two fighters that are going in to face one another. Now, if we think about what Marais did against Wakamatsu, he was level changing and coming up to knees, or he was jumping over him or attacking him ferociously and trying to get him to level change onto the guillotine. DJ took a different approach. DJ decided he was going to be offensively a wrestler. And that he was going to push his opponent back and try and break him with wrestling. Like you can see, he keeps level changing here. He's trying to set this up. Comes with the overhand right, grabs a single leg, and really tests the game of Wakamatsu. I mean, his takedown defense looked really good. It was a constant attack, one after the next from DJ, who was really good at staying on his waist and chaining his attacks together. What this does show, though, is that the wrestling of Wakamatsu is really strong. But he couldn't keep up with the onslaught. This was the thing that got through in the end. It was DJ having several different things that he could throw at his opponent at one time and forcing Wakamatsu to go, okay, I'm defending a takedown. I've got to get myself back up to my feet. Now I'm defending my back. Or as you can see here, he's defending side control. Now DJ, look at this spread here that DJ's got. That flexibility that DJ's got there allows him to stay both under the hips of his opponent and under the shoulder. And because we've got knees to the head here, DJ's he's got the perfect hip dexterity to make the most of this rule. Okay, posts here, he's going to start chopping to the side of the head. Lovely work. And from the other side, this is what led to the finish. So he's pressuring, he goes to attack the far side armbar, and Wakamatsu scrambles and turns straight into a guillotine. Eats a couple of knees for his trouble, and then DJ just runs him into the fence and stacks him. And that is a really brutal guillotine. You can even see Wakamatsu get his left arm across to try and twist himself out of it. I mean, let's watch this one more time. I'll talk you through it as it happens. So here we go. He's going on the far side arm. What he's trying to do now is he's trying to pull himself back over and bring the arm with him. But you can see at the same time that Wakamatsu's turning the opposite way. So he's turning away from this arm, which immediately nullifies this attack from DJ. So he's going to abandon that, and he's going to then switch to a guillotine. He's going to stand over him, weight's now going down into his shoulders, so with his weight on top of Wakamatsu, which will hold him here for a moment, take a couple of knees to distract him, and then look how he rips that guillotine high. You're watching this elbow here. Watch how he drags this up and really bites high on the guillotine. Bang. Look at that. You can see how deep that is. He goes to the point where he switches his grip, because now his elbow's so high that he's difficult to get any more leverage on this. So he's ripped this elbow as high as he can. He's got that high elbow guillotine, but now he's going to switch his grip. He's going to let go of that, and he's going to go and complement the grip by pushing into it now. You see how he's changed his grip? He's hooked over it. So he's pulling up at this point. The direction of his grip, he's pulling up. And then it's going to switch, and he's going to start driving in. You see how his hips are driving in? So that's the grip that he's got, and now he's driving his hips in as well, which is folding the neck over of Wakamatsu. No way out of that. And Wakamatsu currently has his arm caught in between the legs of DJ, but you're going to see him get that arm out to the side. There we go. He clears the arm. You can see him pushing on the knee, clears the arm like he's going to be able to try and get out of this. And DJ gets under that arm and stacks him into the fence. What a squeeze that is. What I like, of course, is that that's a common opponent. You get different performances from both guys and a different approach. DJ did it quicker, if that means anything to you. It took a little bit of time for Moraes to kind of allow his game plan to flower, whereas DJ, because he was a bit more hard-headed with it, he was able to force the finish a bit quicker. That might be the difference, though, between these two, because Moraes is patient and he's got time to allow this one to play out. DJ, if he's a bit too eager to come in and get his revenge and to prove that he's the better MMA fighter, he might find himself vulnerable to those flying knees or the guillotines or whatever else Moraes decides to add into his game. I mean, those uppercuts are going to be useful again this time around. Other things to consider. So DJ's fought over 5 rounds 7 times. His record's 5-2. Moraes has fought over 5 rounds 5 times. His record's 3-2. As far as stoppages go, in the first round, DJ wins with 6 stoppages over 8 for Moraes. 5 stoppages in the second round for Moraes compared to 4 for DJ. But then all tied up with 2 stoppages each in the third round. And then DJ takes over. So Moraes has got no stoppages in the 4th or the 5th round. And after that point, it goes to decisions, which he's got 6. For DJ, he's got 3 finishes in the 5th round. And he also has 13 wins by decision. And those finishes in the 3rd round as well are Ray Borg and Kyoji Horiguchi. It's not like he's beating up people for consistently and then subbing them because he's choosing to. He's setting up these opportunities against really high-level opposition. And they're spectacular finishes, as you remember. I would say that DJ needs to start a bit slower and be a bit less eager, because Moraes is going to have a 2 or 3 layered attack, which is going to be laying out in front of DJ and allowing to you know, just kind of marinate for the first couple of rounds. I think DJ is most likely, if he's too eager, he's going to run into the game plan of Moraes, and that would not work out well for him. But I think that Moraes can be kind of frustrated if DJ is patient. We'll see how that plays out. It's always interesting when people have fought each other once before and then they're coming in again and they have to do something different. They have to prove themselves. Moraes might not feel like he has to do anything. He might feel like the same game plan would work against DJ. And if DJ's not changed, the same game plan will work against him. But DJ, I feel, is too smart to come in the same fight than he was last time. I think there's going to be changes to DJ's game. I think he might start more patient, and I think he's going to probably try and wrestle a little bit earlier. We'll see. This is a really interesting fight. Make sure you check this out for the ONE Championship flyweight title. ONE on Prime Video ONE. Make sure you check it out. It's going to be a great show. Co-main event and the next one down, Rod Tang against Savas Michael. Check out the shows on the channel. Loads to talk about with these. All right. Catch you next time.